Check your boobs, the choice is up to you. So go ahead, give it a whirl. No more trouble and strife, it just might save your life. Check those boobs, girl.
Mother Daughter Breast of Friends podcast with myself, Becky Measures, and of course my rather bonkers, slightly wonderful mother, Wendy Watson. And we find ourselves back again in the kitchen of the rather gorgeous Colleen Nolan!
I don't know, I'm afraid of myself.
Yeah, well, no, it's what you have to do. What you have to do. And, you know, obviously, we had a discussion with you already before. We've realised that we are going to be best friends for life.
Yes.
You know, I think we're going to find out from this that we're probably related.
Probably.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Related. Yeah. Something's going to go off. We're going to have our own show as well.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. No, but seriously, you know, it was absolutely wonderful to chat with you on the first podcast that we did with you. And, you know, to be honest, it's all down to one person that this has happened.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we thank God and all that.
Well, sometimes we pray to God, I've got to be honest.
It's just Shane will do, not God.
Oh.
And are you Shane Nolan this week?
Yeah. You're more famous than Dad this week, aren't you? So
yeah,
I will go with Nolan.
With Nolan this week.
Yeah.
This is the first thing he ever said to me,
yeah.
Right? It was that, you know, his surname was dependent on which one of you was the most famous.
Yeah.
I love his honesty.
Well, exactly.
To be fair, go with it.
Never gets me paid more. We're doing this for free?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, let's carry on then.
I am afraid.
Let's get a move on.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is pay you in mucking out horses. That's it.
No.
He don't have any horses.
That means nothing to him.
No, yeah. All right, well, yeah. That's it. You're getting
means
no payment whatsoever.
Me.
But, you know, thank you for coming and joining us on it, Shane, and thank you for setting up this, you know, sort of meeting in the first place. And again, I remember you saying to me not so long ago, you are just using me to get to my mum, aren't you? And I went, yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, though, you have done a lot for me as well.
Hey.
You've done a lot of stuff for me. You know, yeah.
We can't
talk about it on this
what
podcast.
What have you done to my son?
No, it's,
you'll find out in next month's...
You know, the Sheffield City Hall event and stuff like that.
Oh,
and loads of other things. So
yeah, he was really good.
I was.
He would be.
I was.
Just so you know, he was dying of nerves.
I wasn't.
Yes, he was.
I learned the song on the day, which probably didn't help.
He was dying of nerves.
I had to have a little...
He always pretends he isn't.
I had to have a little laugh, right? Because he was on the train and he went, I forgot my suit, trousers, I ain't got them, I don't know me words, right?
Yeah, he's so professional, my son.
And then he turns up at the Sheffield City Hall and he literally looked at me and he went, you didn't tell me that there were these people. You didn't tell me. And I went, well, I gave you the link.
Yeah, it was the top West End stars and me.
But you absolutely owned it.
Smashed it.
You really, really did.
Video.
And you also came on the radio with me as well. And we did a bit of an It's All About You and about your life and, you know, sort of what it was like growing up with, you know, your bonkers mother.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Well, I was actually quite nice about you, actually.
Really?
Not so much about Dad. No, I'm joking.
And, you know, for those that don't know, but I'm sure most people do, your dad is Shane Ritchie, and you've always been sort of very open with your relationship and everything during Loose Women. Mm. And also, Shane, you know what is, and I always think this is beautiful for anybody, is that you've always been very open about your mental health battles, you know, over the years and where it's taken you and where you've found yourself. And when we... started talking about, you know, for me, I was like, I really want to meet your mum, you know, because of this link and everything else. And, you know, you sort of said to me, well, you know, mum does say to me, you know, I need to look out for myself and whatever. But you're quite blasé in that respect. Has your mind changed at all now?
No, not really. I mean, yes, in respect of I've come through the other side of it and stuff like that. From talking and having counselling and therapy. But I think we just went through a stage of not talking as much.
Shane's a typical man.
Excuse me, I was talking.
Oh my God, I swear to God, we won't get to the end of this podcast. I'm going to kill him.
It feels like it's a tennis match.
You've had your moment. Let me talk for a minute.
Okay, well, don't be boring.
Okay, move on then.
No, go on.
No, we used to talk a lot, and then obviously I had an issue with a lot of different things, and I became, within myself, I think like most men do. And then I, once again, I had therapy and went through a lot of counselling and stuff like that, and you just open up, and I cried a lot, got rid of a lot of stuff that was on my shoulders and weighing on me, and I feel like I'm coming through it and... Don't get me wrong, there's still stuff that gets you down. But
of course.
I'll be honest, it was when it might sound a bit daft, But probably when I stopped, realised I couldn't play football anymore. You know, even little things like that.
Because that was your passion in life from the age of five.
Yeah.
He was brilliant at it.
Like, for instance, I played a little bit of paddle tennis last night and I can't move today. Yeah, so it's like, you know, it's like little things like that, knowing your body can't do stuff, and really depressed me, as well as work and the lockdown, as well as it did everyone else. But the lockdown was a big thing for me. It really got me.
But the thing with Shane is he always jokes about everything, as you can tell, or he's sarcastic. So he's very hard to... Because there was times when I knew he was down, and there was times I knew he had stuff on his mind, or he was a bit depressed, and you could see it. Don't do it.
No. But what my mum
does,
he's right?
Laughing.
No. But what my mum does, because obviously I'm the joker all the time, I am like that. I don't just put that on. I am sarcastic all the time. But if I'm having a day where I, just one day, where I'm not, you know, my usual self. Are you all right? Shall I call someone? Are you going to jump? No, it's not that bad. It's not that deep, Mom. I'm just having a day where I don't like any of you.
Yeah, it's called procrastination, and I don't want at all.
Did you
find as well, sort of, Colleen, in that, you know, I think sometimes we're all sat here, we're all quite strong women, and we're all in the public eye in a way, you know, and you always have been. How old were you when the Nolan started?
Well, I was two when I first started singing with my family. I was 2 years old.
Wow.
And then we were discovered when I was nine. So that was our first TV series, which was the Cliff Richard series.
Oh,
so
really?
From the age of nine, yeah.
Gosh, when was that?
74.
Yeah. It was only a few years ago. Yeah. Look at it. It's not very
about 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
So from the age of nine, really. So I've never known anything else.
And that's always fine, because that's all you've ever known. Mm. But you also always see the other side of things, and then you have your own babies.
Yeah.
And you, your life has been lived out in the public eye. Mm. And of course, you know, your sister's diagnosis you know, I always say sometimes for us, it's easier because we get to talk about stuff all the time, and actually being open and using platforms like Loose Women to say how you feel can be quite a relief.
Yeah, definitely.
But then there's nothing that is sort of sacred in a way. Did you kind of think, oh God, is that what's affecting Shane? Does he feel like he has to live up to certain things?
You know, there's an element of, and it's not anybody's fault, it's not his dad's fault, it's not my fault, but you know, our kids grew up, well, it was because we didn't use contraception, that was our fault. But other than that, we had to live with that mistake. But anyway...
I knew it.
It's good though. What else
happened? Do we need to know more?
I don't know where we're going now.
You can't cope with this.
Yeah.
Look, you can't cope with
it. Because he's now thinking about the night he was conceived. But anyway, sorry. Carry on, dear.
This afternoon. But anyway.
Downstairs toilet, I heard.
It was.
It's all I need.
But I don't even know what the question was. No, I think, you know, as much as I wanted them, because when I had my own kids, when they got to the age of two, I remember thinking, oh my God, I was taken to a gig at the age of two. Like, we did all the working men's clubs. So we'd be there doing four spots a night, getting home at 3 a.m, blah, blah, blah. And I remember thinking, I can't imagine doing that with my kids.
Mm.
And I try to give them as normal upbringing as possible. But it's very hard when you've got two parents who are in the spotlight.
Both of
you. One parent who just won't shut up, which is me.
I don't know.
Because the show I do, like, everything's out there, because I can't be two different people.
Well, you can't. I love that. That's what I always say about radio. That's what makes you good.
Yeah, I can't be those, a TV persona and then a normal persona. But anyway, so, you know, as much as I try and protect them, obviously it's going to affect them. Mm. So, there was an element of guilt with that, and still is, I guess. But yeah, so I'm kind of overprotective on the mental health situation. But I think we're a good family for talk. Shane's the hardest, actually, whatever he says. But we all sit down normally and talk about it. But I truly believe, whether you're in the spotlight, whether you're famous, or whether you're, you know, your family work at a supermarket, I'm a real believer in counselling and therapy. I mean, I would have family therapy every month if I could.
There's a reason why everybody does in America.
Yeah.
There is a reason.
Well, I grew up thinking, what are Americans like? Everything's therapy. I'm such a believer in it now. And I think we've been good at that. I've met so many families that go, oh, no, we don't
You know, we don't. I've got, you know, some friends of my kids who come round, especially when they were younger, and would tell me things because they didn't want to tell their mum and dad. And I'm thinking, why wouldn't them? Why? Mm-hmm. That's so, you know, weird to me that they can't speak to their own parents, but they just couldn't because they just weren't that kind of family.
It comes down to an element of like, even as a kid, and I kind of like, I'm conscious of it with my kids, in that we're always on about like, you know, oh, we're so proud of you, and you know, you're smashing it, and you're doing this because you want to do that. Mm. Whereas does that then lead to, well, I don't tell you that I don't want to do it, or I don't tell you that I'm not smashing it, or I don't tell you that I'm actually not what you think I am. Mm. Did you feel like that, Chin?
Rarely, because I always do smash it, but no matter what, as soon as I go on stage or something like that, no matter what mood I'm in, it takes you out of that mood. You could be in a bad mood, you could be in a bad mental place, but as soon as you step on stage, you forget about
it. I think stage is just the medium for
well,
that.
It's because adrenaline, isn't it?
You're just there, aren't you?
Yeah, adrenaline's the best drug. If you could bottle up adrenaline and give it to people, then it would be the best.
But it comes with the other side when you're
downside.
In COVID and you can't do that.
But the first lockdown COVID was really good. It was like family therapy because we moved just into this house, 7 or 8 of us.
Yeah.
And we got on really well, and it was a summer holiday. It was like living in an Airbnb here.
Yeah, it was.
And then and it was good for me because I was on the verge of, because I was just burnt out, just gigging all the time, contemplating just quitting, and I don't know what I was going to do. Mm. So it was good for me. And I realised how great my job is and how lucky I am. But then the second lockdown hit, and then that's when it was really bad for me.
I think that's when you were really down, wasn't it?
Really bad way, yeah.
What was different, do you think, that time?
I just think, even little things like
that. I hated this.
The weather, even like, you know, the way it was winter. You know, where I was meant to go down south to my wife's. We were meant to go down there for Christmas. That all got cancelled. It was really tough for me, the second, because we got let out, didn't we, for a couple of months, so I gigged a lot, and then got,
I hated the second one.
And then we started to see cracks in our, we didn't argue at all, anyone in the family, anyone, then the cracks started to show, and we started bickering and started
irritable,
and I realised, oh, I do need to move out for good, and that's no offence to like, you, it was just like, I can't stand how many animals this woman
offended.
Has got.
Yeah, he used to.
But I can never live. I'm only 5 minutes away. Mm. What are you moving again? It's bang out of order.
I know.
But yeah, it has been tough. But I'm in a good place now.
Good.
Really good place. And but you know, I might not be next week. It's one of those things.
Well, at least the point is now you're open to talking and you're open to knowing that you've got a support mechanism. Blah, 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 blah.
I could still be better though, 100%. I could still be better.
But everybody could.
He's be better at talking.
Yeah.
Because he's still, I don't know whether it's protect me or himself. Because as a mom,
yeah, but
think you can really sense things about your kids. And sometimes I sense that he's not great or he's having a shit day.
But it's normally things that you don't need to, like,
say that to him. He goes, Mom, I'm fine, shut up.
Yeah, but I will be tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I just have a day.
No, just tell me.
Yeah.
It's no big deal.
Do you, Shane, do you think it's where, like, subconsciously, because you are close with your aunties as well, aren't you? You know?
Yeah.
And you were saying, he does make jokes about the Nolan's Christmas parties. Mm. He compared you to the load of monkeys in the zoo not so long ago.
It's not wrong.
Well, one of them had
their... Can't have a go at him about
one
that.
One of them had their ass out and he said, you know...
Yeah, we did a podcast at the zoo, it just made sense.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to tell him.
I was going to say, how did that come about?
but what I'm saying is that, you know, you are a close family unit, and from what I kind of, and I don't know, but what I get from you as well, from whenever I watch you, is that you're watching your sisters go through this horrific disease, and as much as you're the baby, you've still got to kind of be strong, and strong for them. So in turn, without you even realizing it, you probably feel like you've got to be strong for your mom, knowing that she probably doesn't break down that easily because it's not easy for her.
Even like with the breakup with my dad back in the day and everything, I've probably seen my mum cry twice, maybe 3 times.
And that was when he was pissing me off.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was when I was getting married, and like it wasn't even like a bad thing, but like she is one of the strongest women I know.
Yeah, 100%. Do you feel strong?
Well, I tell you what, it's funny because you say, oh, it's one of the strongest women I know because I don't see her cry. I think it takes great strength to be able to cry and feel comfortable enough. Sometimes I feel weak because I can't cry.
because I'm trying to be strong.
Do you feel, it's like a barricade sort of gone down and gone, I can't let this, if you do, you'd just go.
Well, I think it's one of those things as well. If I think about my sisters and I think about, him and, his dad and Kira's dad, I think if I start crying, I get to a point where I think if I start, I don't stop it instantly, I'm not going to stop. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I will hit a massive low and a massive can't get out of bed today. And I just refuse to do that because life's too short. Then I go, do you know what? I've had a little cry. Now move on. And I always think of Bernie, because Bernie used to say, you can cry for me for 2 weeks when I die and then stop and get on with life. And I always think of Bernie now. When I'm crying, I think if she was here now, she'd be like, get out of bed, get to work and do what you need to do.
And our family, we've always, especially me and you, I think, Mum, we handle sadness and not so much depression because it's not a laughing matter or anything, but we're the ones to crack a joke at a funeral. And it's not like because, we don't care. It's just that's just the way I am, awkward.
I think we get through a lot of sadness with laughter.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I saw this straight away because when we were doing the radio show and I'm picking up on things, and as soon as you start going down this little, he's bang, he's out.
Back out.
What I think I'm trying to say to you is that you can quite see that you're trying to be there for each other, and it's probably in your head more than you realise.
Well, I mean, the positive side of it is if I'm having a really down day and, whether I'm angry at the world or I'm just sad, within half an hour of Shane coming round, he might not sit there, hold my hand and go, what's up, Mum? Jake would sit with me for 4 hours while I,
whatever.
But Shane will come round and go, oh, that's sad. Anyway, can you put the kettle on? And instantly I laugh.
Yeah.
And so it's another way of getting me out of it, where it's great with Jake or Kira to have that talking for hours situation. Sometimes you just need somebody like Shane to come around and go, oh, God, there's people dying everywhere in the world. Anyway, do you want to put the kettle on?
I sometimes feel bad about doing that. But then at the same time, I went, you've got enough with Jake and Kira on your plate. I'll just come around and be the... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't do it because I don't care.
No, I know.
And I think you know that. Mm. But sometimes people think I don't care.
But I also think you have my thing of if you really let yourself think about it and really care, you won't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you do have... I think his defence...
Oh, God, I cry at everything as well.
His defence mechanism.
It's not like I don't cry.
I cry more now.
I cry at everything. Yeah. Like 60-minute makeover. Look at that wallpaper.
Westfield Health. Harder working health cover. Proud sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.
It's that pragmatic approach that will, help you get through situations like this in a respect, because you do meet people that get told they've got a BRCA gene or they've got a faulty gene, and it literally they cannot see any kind of positive. And, we have to sort of say, well, we understand that because you've just witnessed this happen and this happen and this happen. But it's that kind of reflective moment of going, well, hang on a minute, but we can do something and we can be there for each other. Have you, I know you said your mum said, you've got to check yourself and whatever. Do you?
Oh, God, I am now. I know you can't see, but... Constantly.
I mean, for the right reasons.
Oh, no. I do, actually, to be fair. Do you know what? No, not breast-wise, though. I do, because it's only really...
Jake doesn't do the breast thing. He didn't even know.
Yeah, no, I do check. But only recently, though.
It's incredibly rare, even for men with faulty genes to get...
But not impossible.
Not impossible, but incredibly rare.
Yeah, but it's still
much less... risk for men with a faulty gene than the rest of the population of women. Mm. A lot less. Of course it is. The
big thing, and this is why I'm quite glad that you're coming on and having this sort of chat with us and sort of finding out about you as a person and who you are, in that you reject the lad, Shane, do you know what I mean? And that is the persona, and that is the persona that you want people to see, but actually there is a beautiful side of you, do you know what I mean? And you do care, and you are bothered, and that's gorgeous. And you actually coming on and having this chat with us, you are going to be amazed at how many blokes are going to go, thank the freaking Lord, somebody like you is going to be recognising that this is something that needs talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
The mental health side that goes with with men and hereditary breast cancer. Mm. You know, you think of the scenarios of they've probably lost their mum or their sister or their
aunties.
Or the next thing that they know is that they've had a daughter and their daughter's dying. That's a lot of the time that we hear those stories.
Well, we do. We do quite a lot. Going back to the men's situation, I remember getting a phone call from somebody a few years ago, and her family was in bits because they'd found out that this girl's sister died when she was 29. And a couple of years later, the genetics department rang up and said, "Oh, you'd be pleased to know we've found out how she died. It's through you, Richard.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. His mum had died from ovarian cancer and he carried the faulty gene." The family fell apart. And luckily, they saw the programme of Becky on the TV and got in touch with me on the helpline. And I invited them. I saw every side of this straight away because Jill, the young one, she needed to talk to somebody. Mum and dad couldn't even talk to each other.
He'd have had so much guilt.
Exactly. And even though so I invited them around to my house and made them a lunch. Mm. I tidied the house. And I made them lunch and we just sat and talked. And I said to Margaret, I said, the reason that Richard can't talk to you, and I know you need to talk about it, because he's just locked himself away in guilt.
Guilt.
That is so terrible.
Sure, they said it a bit nicer than that. It's actually your fault, Richard. That's why.
I don't think they said it's your fault. They just said, "You'll be pleased to know we've found the gene. It's come through you."
Shocking.
And he just couldn't cope because his youngest daughter had died at 29. Mm. I mean, that's just so
unbearable.
And of course, his wife needed to talk, and his daughter needed to talk to both of them because she was now at risk.
But don't you think the whole thing? I keep saying this because obviously I do the mirror problem stuff as well. My whole thing that I've learned through everything, whether it's through cancer, whether any form of mental health, talking.
Yep.
It's the hardest thing for people, isn't it? But it's just so valuable.
I said the other day I was doing an interview. And I said exactly the same thing. Mm. I went, you know, we need to let people know that they can talk and we need to get this out there. You know, there's a reason that therapy is, et cetera. Yeah. She said to me, "Have you had therapy, Becky?" And I went, "I haven't actually." And then I realised why, right? Because I've been on the radio since I was 19.
Talking all the time.
All the time. Mm. What I suffered from in lockdown was if I wasn't on air, I needed them. They needed me. And I needed them. And this is people I've never even bloody met. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That was our thing. And that's what I think, like, you know, sort of sharing any kind of your story, if you're comfortable with it and everything else, actually, it's one of the most powerful things that you could do.
It's better than any medicine.
Yeah, really. 100% it really is.
It's better than any medication. Yeah.
Well, that's right. I mean, just having those people for lunch and just explaining to Margaret why Richard was being how he was, instantly the family was all together again.
Yeah.
And it was
so powerful.
I mean, I've had letters from them and they've been friends forever and it doesn't matter. And it's just one thing, isn't it? Just talk.
Yeah. And I think you can see it. You know, I've only known you, a year now, right, Shane? Is it about a year?
More year, yeah.
Birthday message. He's right cheeky, isn't he? I mean, I don't know who he takes after.
Why, what did he do?
Sent me a birthday message.
Did
he? I played it out on air, actually. I can't remember what you said, but I remember that's Shane. but, you know, I can see in you your desire to want to talk and to open up about things. You know what I mean? And you can see straight away that it's like, it fulfills you more.
Yeah.
And we've chatted, haven't we, about like sort of doing more things together. Because he's actually I waited till I saw him actually sing. He is actually very good.
Guys, come on, man.
Yeah, but you are.
It's really hard for me to say because I'm his mom, so you'd always think your kids are good. But actually, I think I'm also good enough to go, if he wasn't, I'd go, don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm always so proud of him when I see such a good...
Yeah, honestly, you are. And you've done that off your own merit And I know that you've tried to prove that you've done that. And you are in the next sort of next position of your life now and then. You know, you're probably thinking about your own family and then what that means to your family and stuff. Do you think you'll be more proactive with the with sort of talking about the gene side of stuff? Do you think you'll want to find out more? How do you feel about it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, well, I don't know why you wouldn't.
I agree. I'll tell you
why. Is the main thing. I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. Because it, sooner you know, the better.
Yeah.
But I mean, like say, it's getting the word across and people finding out. So you guys doing this is amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because you learned today.
So much today, yeah.
And I didn't have a clue. Yeah. So it's... Because I remember you trying to explain to me what this... And I went, just come into the podcast and explain it to my mum because I don't know what you're on about. But obviously learning today. And then I don't know... I just don't know why you wouldn't want to know.
Mm. Some people are scared of knowing, aren't they?
Yeah,
Because then they have to make a decision.
I'm a bit like that.
Yeah.
In terms of I'd rather not know.
Yeah.
My mum was very like that.
Yeah. But I'm not like that anymore.
Yeah. Mm.
To just say is that it doesn't need to be an issue, that doesn't. Because now, if you have a faulty gene, you can have PGD, which... Basically, it's like fertility treatment, and you will probably have 8 eggs that will all be tested, and then you can save as many of those as you want that haven't got the gene fault.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Amazing.
Right? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, that's
so therefore, if you pre-know any diagnosis, I'm not saying that there will be one because maybe your mum doesn't have a faulty gene, which case you won't have it because it doesn't skip a generation.
Yeah.
The effects can, but the actual passing on of the gene doesn't. But it is possible that if your mum did have a gene fault, she could pass it on to you. And if you did, there are things that you could think about.
So he doesn't pass it on.
So that you don't pass it on. That's and it's amazing. not even difficult.
God, it's amazing how far things have come.
It's been amazing doing this for me, because even though I grew up with it, you know what I mean? I can't remember my life without, and I'm saying to you, do you know what I mean? Yeah. My life without breast cancer being talked about or, you know, something happening. But then I'm like listening to it from a different perspective. Do you know what dawned on me, all right? Do you know what dawned on me was... oh, crap, I don't know if I could say this. I caught my mum and my daughter singing together. And I thought, flipping heck, she'd have never thought she'd have a granddaughter. Because it's not happened. Mm. 3 generations of women being alive. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Shouldn't be alive to be singing with
them. And that was just like, wow. But I'm finding out so many things. Mm. You know, it's just that constant. But it is a case that I think we're lucky enough to realise that our knowledge is power.
Yeah.
You know, and then and you can see it in you. You've got it off your mum. You know, being able to change people's lives, because ultimately that's where we get our buzz from, whether it's entertaining them, whether it's talking about different people's problems and actually trying to get that out there. It's the most addictive thing you will ever do.
Oh, my God. Why do you think I'm so in love? I do the Real Full Monty every year.
And
it's on again. It's on in December. And the response after we do that is... It just makes you go, that's why it's so close to my heart. Because every year, even if it's only one life, we've saved it just by raising awareness.
I don't think you've seen that, have you? Well, Mum doesn't watch telly.
You should watch it. It's on December.
Mum, I remember watching it because you were at the Sheffield City Hall.
Yeah,
and
that was
the
first one.
Flipping furious. I was like, there's my chance to meet her, and I still didn't.
That was the first one.
And you had Michelle Heaton.
Yeah.
Who's
had it all done, hasn't she?
Yeah, and I know...
Because she carried the BRCA gene.
She's the BRCA carrier.
Yeah.
And, of course, I know her struggles hugely were with menopause.
Yeah.
When she had the hoophorectomy. Mm. So, yeah, that... Yeah. And you will be the same, do you know what I mean? Because it's like that thing when you come out the other side, all you want to do is just go and help anybody else that's going through
it. Yeah, like,
especially with mental health and with men and young men.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of mental health, 100%. I've needed mental health by going to watch my mum every year get her boobs out on stage. That's also been a bit of an issue for me.
He's so still in therapy for them.
Well, you know, if it transpires that she ends up going the same route as Becky, you'll actually be very proud of her.
Once again, if there is any therapists out there who want to get in touch.
just say if my boobs end up like Becky's, it won't be just once a year. I'll be making you cups of tea with no top on. I'll be opening the door to the postman. Look at these babies.
I've never been so happy in all of my entire life. Not only is Colleen Nolan my best friend now, she thinks my tits are amazing.
They are.
Well, there's your quote.
Yeah. Yep, sorry, my therapist is actually ringing, so...
You never knew we'd be going down this line, did you?
As I say,
I think this is the start of a lot to come. Me and Shane have spoken about this. He's volunteered you to be the lead of our Breast of Friends Festival next year. I don't know where it's going to be or what or
what. Or what it's about.
I could tell you it's about breasts.
Yeah, and it's a festival.
And we're getting them out and we're celebrating them that aren't here.
That's all I need.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you very much.